I believe that amongst that community there are many who know the Lord. Many are quiet about it, and others are unashamed. Even some who gave a tour were unafraid at the end to speak of how the Lord Jesus, living in their hearts, is what enables them to live a special life. And I want you to know that that is true. When you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart, you are enabled to live a new life. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air to bring you the message of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. We call it glorious because it lifts a sinner out of the depths of despair, out of the pit of sin, into the highest heavens. It's also glorious because it brings honor to the Lord. God receives the glory in the salvation of sinners. And of course, it will lead you to that land of heaven. And I pray that you will have an ear today to listen, how important it is to listen to the message of God's salvation that is so full, so rich, and so free. We're going to be looking at the gift of saving faith today. And it is very important that we not only have historic faith or that we have some kind of mental acuity, but rather that we have a heart belief. Saving faith is to believe from the heart. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So stay tuned with us as we go now to the message of God's word. Stay tuned. Our Bible reading today is in the book of Acts. That's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we come to the book of Acts. And I'd like you to read the Bible as we go through these verses. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now the story is of the evangelist Philip, who is sent by God to a desert place. When I came to church this morning, I thought I was in a desert place. I see the leaves falling off the trees due to the dryness. Where we have been for our congress over in Pennsylvania, it was lush green, some rain along the way. And what a difference. And here is the evangelist Philip. He is commanded by God to leave one location and go down to a desert place. And he's on a special mission to one man. And I want you to follow along here in this biblical account as we read of Philip being sent to speak to a man about his soul. May that be true of you today, and may the Lord minister to your heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to your heart and help us to take it in as we come back to it in a little while in our sermon and message this morning. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're moving right now to our ministry here at our Free Presbyterian Church, bringing you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Stay tuned right to the end. May God bless you through his word today. The Congress meetings ended just over a week ago. Monday to Friday was the official five meetings. Buell and I had the privilege of being there for the first Sunday prior to that. And then we stayed on for the second Sunday. And a lot of people were still remaining. The whole group from Northern Ireland were still there, and many from other churches as well. At the evening service, the congregation from Allentown, where the Reverend Stephen Hamilton preaches, the whole congregation came down and joined in the evening service. So it was a great time to meet people and to sit under the preaching of the Word. In the last few days, we spent time in Amish country in Pennsylvania. If you Google Lancaster, you will discover that there is a long-standing heritage of the Mennonite and the Amish people going away back to 1752 when German people arrived and settled in that community. And it seems to be a place where time stands still. They still use horse and buggy. Many of them do not use electricity in their homes. They're not farming with tractors, but with mules. Although it's amazing the modern equipment that they can hook up to a mule these days. On one afternoon, we visited a farmer's market, and they had all these jams out that we could taste and the preserves that they had. And by the time we actually had a good sampling of many things at that time. As we left, I saw a little tract holder and picked up this little tract, God's Wonderful Plan of Salvation. And I learned that many years ago, there was a famous evangelist who came into the community and preached the gospel with great acceptance. Up to 15,000 people attended and heard the message of the gospel. I believe that amongst that community, there are many who know the Lord. Many are quiet about it. and others are unashamed. Even some who gave a tour were unafraid at the end to speak of how the Lord Jesus, living in their hearts, is what enables them to live a special life. And I want you to know that that is true. When you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart, you are enabled to live a new life. Because the sad news is, now the gospel is the good news, but it's based on the reality of the bad news, that we are all sinners. We are all fallen by nature. And there is none of us who can live, walk, talk, do, say, and respond in a way that honors God in all things. The Bible puts it this way: we come short of the glory of God. We come short of God's standard. And therefore, we plunge into disobedience and plunge into rebellion, and we are out of tune with God. Now, as God is the creator and we are the creature, the moment that you're out of step with God, you're lost. You're on your own. You're a prodigal. You are wandering. And of course, that's the reason why people turn to many things like alcohol, tobacco, drugs, vices, all kinds of things people resort to because they feel so empty. And it is that emptiness that the Lord Jesus came into this world to answer. And he spoke so clearly that he gives unto his sheep, his people, eternal life, a new life. It's not just a code of ethics, but it is the indwelling of his grace in hearts. And if you trust the Lord Jesus, he will come into your heart. And he will save you. Now, I want to speak to you today about the most important part of the gospel. The thing that above all else really, really matters. And that is faith. And a particular kind of faith. We call it saving faith. The faith that gives you this new life, that leads you into a new relationship with the Lord, and by which you are converted to live a new life. And it is by faith. Now, we learned that in Ephesians 2. I want you to turn now to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and this account of Philip the evangelist speaking to this Ethiopian eunuch, this man from Ethiopia who had been to Jerusalem, gone through all the worship. He may have been Jewish, but somehow he was sitting in his chariot along the roadway reading the Bible. And the passage he was reading was Isaiah chapter 53, which talks about the Lord dying as a lamb, offering up himself, and that by his death we are saved. And as Philip spoke to him, the Ethiopian cried out and said, "I want to be baptized." Now, that meant he wanted to be a Christian. That meant he wanted to give up his old life and live a Christian life. Now, the interesting and very important thing is how Philip responded. You want to be a Christian? You want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus? You want to have eternal life? Well, the all-important thing was if you believe. If you believe. And I want you to see this here in chapter 8 and in verse 36, 37. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That was the Ethiopian's question. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." Now, he didn't say if you love, but he said if you believe. He didn't say if you do. No, it's not works. It's by faith, and by faith alone. Faith is the mother of every other grace. You can't love God without faith. You can't obey God without faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so this is the all-important issue for you today, if you would be a Christian, if you would be live a new life and one day enter heaven. Indeed, this is the first and the only condition of entering into this new life. Saving faith is the key. Have you ever been locked out? You lost your key. You had everything else. You knew the numbers, you knew the information, you knew what to do, but no key. And faith in the plan of the gospel is the key that opens up salvation and enables you to enter in. Now, if you don't have that key, no matter what else you have, you're outside, lost and hopeless. Let me explain a few things today about saving faith, that you might be saved. That's my burden. I care for your soul. I want you to have this new life. To live without God is empty. And to be without God at death and at the judgment day will be terror. To be without God for all eternity is absolute misery. But you can be saved. That's what the Bible calls it. Saved. That's the key, faith. And I want you to have that. And so I want you to look at this account and see a number of things. Firstly, you must be convinced about the absolute necessity of saving faith for salvation. This Ethiopian asked, "What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is there something I need to do, something I need to put right? What would I need to do to take that step?" And here is Philip's response. That question was all important, but I think Philip's answer is even more important. Faith. If thou believest, you may. And I have five reasons why that was Philip's answer. Because faith is the condition which the Lord sets to enter in. Would you go to John chapter 1, verse 12? And you will find that in this gospel message of John, it only speaks of faith or believing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These are the people that enter in. These are the people that receive salvation through faith. And secondly, because salvation has to be by faith, or else it's by works. It's either one or the other. You can't have it both ways. And unfortunately, in most forms of religion, even in Protestantism, there are many people who want to have it both ways. Yes, I want to have Jesus, but I want to do my own thing. I will trust somewhat in him, but I want to do something myself. And for some people, that is church rites, ceremonies, membership, and all the various ceremonies of church life, and they think they're doing something that will save their souls. But that's works. And so if salvation is God's gift, if it is by faith alone, then stop there. Don't try to add to it, or you spoil the whole deal. Thirdly, because faith is the consistent and repeated requirement of the gospel. As I read the Bible, as I go through the Gospels and the New Testament messages, here is what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Doesn't mention religions, churches, membership, ceremonies. He that believeth shall be baptized. And whoso believeth not shall be damned. Can you see how important this is? Now let me ask you this. Are you a believer? Do you have this saving faith? As a believer, you have eternal life. If you say, well, I'm not a believer, I don't fall into that category, I have doubts and questions and fears, and I haven't come to the point where I have actually trusted in the Lord, I'm not a believer. Oh, I'm a Protestant. I have a faith, I have a religion. But that doesn't make you a believer on the Lord Jesus. And so this is the consistent and repeated requirement as we read right through this Bible. And then we read that unbelievers will be cast out. You can read that in Revelation 21 verse 8. And there's a whole list of those who are the abominable and the wicked and the fornicators and the unbelievers of this world were cast out. And so faith is imperative. It's the very thing that you must have. And then fifthly, because the Christian is called to live by faith. That's the new life, living by faith. Living by drawing our all from the Lord Jesus, as the branch does from the vine. That little branch that is so weak and slim, so frail, but when it's in the vine, it's joined and enjoying all the life of the vine. And by faith, you are united to the Lord Jesus, and you live by faith. It's a new life. It's a life lived out by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus. Faith is the peel or the bucket that fetches the water from the well. And in Christ, there is this great well of salvation. But you must draw from the wells of salvation by believing, by faith, exercising trust in the Lord Jesus. Faith is the imperative. Now, do you see that? I'm not stretching anything here. I'm just trying to be simple and clarify what the Bible expects. It is the absolute imperative, faith. It sounds so easy, sounds so simple, but there are multitudes that are missing it. And you may be missing it. I want you to have this. I want you to see that this is where your focus needs to be, that you might call yourself a Christian by placing faith in the Lord Jesus. You must also recognize that Jesus is the true and only object of faith. I hear people who say, oh, I'm a person of faith. And I ask, well, what do you believe in? Oh, I believe in everything. That means they really believe in nothing. They have no focus, no object upon which they put their trust. Now, think on what the Ethiopian didn't look to. Philip did not say to him, trust in yourself. Isn't that a popular message today? Psychologists give it all the time. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to have a positive outlook. Trust in your own ability and your own goodness. That's contrary and the opposite to the good news of the gospel. The Ethiopian was not told to trust in himself, but to trust in the Lord Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And he drew from Isaiah 53 how that prophet was speaking about Christ becoming the Lamb who would suffer, bleed, and pay the price on the cross to shed his blood, to be an offering, a sacrifice for sin. And this Ethiopian was told to believe on the Lord Jesus and his work of redemption. He was not told to believe in his experiences. Experiences are funny things. And there are probably 1,000 different experiences represented in this meeting today. You probably have a number of them. And the person beside you has a number of them. And all experiences can be different. But experiences don't save your soul. I remember standing at the doorstep of a home, and I was seeking to witness to a family. And this lady began to tell me about her experience. She saw this flying geese going overhead in a certain formation. And she read from that formation of flying geese what she thought was God's message to her. Well, the only thing that I see every time the geese fly over is V. V. I don't know what you could interpret from that. Just one letter. But people are funny about that. And they tend to follow experiences. But Philip had none of that. Now here was the convert's confession. Look at verse 35 and then verse 37. Do you see it in your Bible there? Acts 8:35. Then Philip, that's the evangelist, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, the Bible, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. And then verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And from this we can see who the object of saving faith is. It's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus.
There is no more important subject than saving faith. To know that you, by trusting, resting in the person and the finished work of Christ on the cross, to know that you are standing fully and resting your eternal soul salvation upon that death, upon the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary, there is no greater issue pressing your soul today. And the question is, are you a believer? And what are you believing in? Are you just a person of faith, carte blanche? Do you believe anything and believe everything? Well, that's not what makes you a Christian. It is by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that you are saved. And by calling in prayer upon the name of the Lord. And I trust that you will do that today.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.